Well, good morning, everybody. Praise God. Ah, I am happy, happy, happy this morning, happy in Jesus, and happy to be fellowshipping with the people of God. We have heard from here and there, near and far this morning already, just as we were getting kind of warmed up and people were coming in the room. We have Dr. Lisa Marshall on all the way down in Tennessee, by way of California, by way of St. Louis. We got the psalmist Marilyn Burns on the line, just got back in from Miami. Oh, God, we thank you for safe travels. We thank you that you're keeping your people together and elated and happy in you. We thank you for the healing that is coming to those who are dealing with sickness and injury and what have you this morning. We just know that God is in the building, even when there ain't a building. We meet online, wherever the people of God get together, wherever the people of God gather, the Spirit of God is there. We know this to be true by the very words of Jesus himself, that wherever two or even three are gathered in my name, I'm going to be right there in the midst of them. So we know for a fact, we have it on good authority, that he is right here in the midst of us this morning. And so I'm just happy. I'm just happy to see our ushers and deacons and everybody in their place. Our own bishop and first lady are on the line as well. We'll be hearing from them soon. And so we're just going to go ahead and open up the service this morning and invite you to join with all of us and just welcome the presence of the Lord. He's already here, but we're just going to welcome him this morning. And so we'll open the service this morning with our own Sister Shannon Black. Now, y'all put your seatbelt on because you never know what's going to happen. When she takes the mic. So I'm ready. I'm sitting down. So I'm in good shape right now. Sister Black, are you with us this morning, ready to go?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, you just
in
don't know what the Holy Spirit is about to say. Mercy, Jesus. Good morning, DTM family and friends. I'm so glad that you were able to call in on this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, like Brother Pastor Mark said, that the Bible has also says that where two or three are gathered in his name, God is also. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. So please turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 23. And while you're getting your Bibles and turning to Proverbs 23, I want to put something in your brains real quick and something for you to think about. And it's, besides me, have you ever been jealous or envious of someone? And truth be told, we have all been jealous or envious at one point in our lives, you know, thinking if you had what they had, if you could do what they do, have their talent, have their money, their house, cars, husbands, wives, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've all been there, and praise God that we don't stay there. Because I was listening to a sermon this past week from a national minister, and he said something that truly sat with me, and honestly, it's not the first time that I've heard this, and it was just a reminder, and it was about, why be stressed out trying to yield someone else's fruit? Yield your fruit, mark, make your mark, do your thing. That reminder really blessed me because you can't walk in your calling chasing something you are not meant to have or not meant to be. That's the enemy messing with your heart and mind, and it's getting you off course. It's a trick. So let alone be a stumbling block to you and to others. But if you guard your heart and your mind and fill it with the things of Christ, the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart, the desires that God wants you to have. So let's read Proverbs 23. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And let's start with verse 17 through verse 19, and it reads, "Do not let your heart envy sinners who live godless lives and have no hope of salvation, but continue to live in the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord day by day. Surely there is a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. Sons and daughters, be wise and direct your heart in the way of the Lord." May God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. So please bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you today, God, just for who you are. You are mighty, you are powerful, you are wonderful, and you are so loving, God. You are caring, you are just. Keep our hearts and minds focused on you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, so that we are not looking at what our neighbor has. Let us stay thankful for what we already have. Let us stay grateful for what we already have. You said in your word that our hope and expectation will not be cut off if we direct our hearts towards you, God. Allow us to stay on the path that you have set for us in the name of Jesus. I pray for our Bishop David Knox and First Lady Mother Bobby. Continue to bless them with health and strength in the name of Jesus. Cancel any demonic assignment of attack against them in the name of Jesus. Loose your warring angels to fight on their behalf in the name of Jesus. I pray for all DTM ministers, DTM family, our friends and our visitors. Build a hedge of protection around each and every person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus, and cover them with the powerful blood of Jesus. What the enemy meant for our demise, God, block it in the name of Jesus. It has to pass over because we are marked by the blood of the Lamb. Forgive us of our sins, Heavenly Father. Purge us. Remove anything that is not like you, God, in the name of Jesus. Fill us up with the fruits of the Spirit. Fill us till it overflows in the name of Jesus. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for renewal. We thank you for transformation. We glorify your name today, God, and forevermore. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So let us now recite our church declaration with authority. Say our church declaration with authority. And it reads, Today we declare, we believe that through the word of God, we can have what it says we can have. We can do what it says we can do. We believe that through our faith in God and our service to Him, we are becoming empowered
individuals and families
who believe doors are opening for us.
Doors are opening for us.
Barriers are being broken.
Barriers are being broken.
And increase is coming to us greater than ever before.
Greater than ever before.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the name of Jesus. We will now have our Black History Moment by our own young, well, she's not young. She's 20, y'all. Sister Sierra Smith. And we will now have her to come on. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
Oh, I was
Hello?
Born.
Praise God! I'm not sure which. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm not sure which one
she's
you
on
are.
She's on Felicia's phone. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
I was born to immigrant parents, a Jamaican father, and an Indian mother, in 1964 in Oakland, California. I attended Howard University and received a bachelor's degree in political science and economics. I was on a debate team and a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. I received my law degree from UC Hastings College of Law. I was the San Francisco District Attorney from 2004 to 2011 and the California Attorney General from 2011 to 2016. In 2016, I was sworn in as Senator of California. I wrote three books entitled The Truth We Hold, Smart on Crime, Superheroes Are Everywhere. I am the first Black and Asian American female to be elected as the Vice President of the United States. I live by what my mother used to tell me. You may be the first, but make sure you are not the last. Who am I?
Kamala
Harris. Beautiful Kamala Harris.
Great job, everybody. Great job. Thank you, Sister Sierra. Appreciate that. Sounds like y'all are up on your history this month, and I am glad about it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to move now into a time of worship and praise, and I'm going to tell you what. I am so happy to have with us this morning I call her the psalmist because she brings it like that. But she's a praise woman. She is a worship woman. She is a God lover. And she's on fire this morning. I know she's happy to be here with us because she already done told me so. So without further ado, I invite you to all worship with us and with our own psalmist, Marilyn Burns. Sister Burns, it's in your hands.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Ooh, God is so good. I'm telling y'all, y'all need to pray for me because I'm full. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down the same, Jesus, oh Jesus, He's worthy to be praised. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. I don't feel no way tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Oh, I don't believe He brought me this far to leave me. Oh, I don't feel no way tired. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I don't believe He brought me this far to lead me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. for me. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Without him, you and I can do nothing. For without him, you and I would fail. Without the Lord, you and I would be drifted like a ship without a sail. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Jesus, there's something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, let heaven and earth proclaim, Jesus, let heaven and earth proclaim, deeds and kingdoms, they all shall pass away, but there's something about that name. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord because he first loved me. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah, Brother Mark.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, indeed. Praise the Lord, indeed. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Amen. The Lord praise right there. If you love the Lord, if you really love the Lord, if you really know you love Jesus, give him some praise right there. Honor him this morning in the beauty of holiness, God. We worship you. No, we thank you. We love you. We really love you, God. Because we know you really love us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Whatever you want me to say, yes, Lord.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Whatever you want me to do, yes, Lord.
Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. My soul. Yes, yes,
yes,
Lord.
Do your will. Yes, do your will.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Ah, I told you she was ready. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Psalmist Marilyn. We appreciate you so much this morning. Ah,
I love the Lord. And I love him because I realize he loved me first. I love him. Ah, my God, I thank you. She said, without him, we can do nothing. But the good news is we don't have to live life without him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And he sure didn't bring us this far, Minister Regina. He didn't bring us this far just to bring us this far. Hallelujah. But he's carrying us on the rest of the way. My God, today, I give him praise this morning. I hope that you are feeling the presence of God. It ain't all in your feelings, I know, but I love the fact that we can feel the presence of God, that he is with us, and he lets us know that he's real and that he is here, he is for us, and never against us. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't even matter who's against you if the Lord is for you. This morning, before we move into our offertory and announcements and that kind of thing, I want to bring up Bishop and let him encourage you, speak to you, share from his heart this morning. We're just going to let him go in the way that the Lord would lead him. Good morning to you, Bishop.
Good morning, Pastor Mark. We just give glory and honor to God this morning. God is doing great things for us. And I know we're still in the pandemic, but see, God knows exactly what he's doing. Thank God is trying to get a message over to us. And all we have to do is trust him and obey. Follow the Lord, and God will lead us out in a wealthy place. You know, we're learning to trust God. We're learning to, you know, trust him what we can't see, what we don't have, because everything belongs to him, and he can give you what you need, and he will provide your needs for you. Hallelujah. I'm just so happy for you this morning. I want to thank everybody for their cards and gifts for our 66th wedding anniversary, Sister Bobby and myself. We're just thankful for you, and God bless you for that. And another thing I want to say, we've been out of the building for about 3 weeks now. Don't forget, our offerings still go to the Lord. We owe God what is due him. Give him what's due him, because it's the Lord that gives us power to get wealth. I keep telling y'all, God's going to bless this church. I don't care what happens to it. We've had catastrophe after catastrophe, but we're still moving forward. And God is going to do great and mighty things for you. So don't worry about what the pipes busting, the water getting in the building and whatever. Don't worry about any of that. God's going to take care of it. And guess what? We are going to have a glorious time. I'm getting ready to come back. I get my guitar out, and I'm just kind of going over it again and trying to fix it, praise God. We're going to have church when we get back in the building. But before we get back, we're just going to trust God and stay together and keep loving each other. God bless you, and the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Appreciate that. I just want to, real quick, you know, he kind of moved kind of quickly over part of that, and I just want to give us an opportunity this morning to acknowledge the fact that the man said, did y'all hear that part? 66 years, I think we ought to just give God some praise right there. Woo! And some congratulations.
The
Bishop and First Lady.
Praise
Amen.
God. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful marriage.
Amen.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God.
All
God.
You
Glory
guys. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I tell you, some folks can't make it 6 weeks. 66 years is a long time, and we bless God for both of you, Bishop and First Lady, looking beautiful as ever, and we just appreciate God. As Bishop said, the business of the church goes on, whether it's pandemic or not, and so we want to remind you this morning that we have at least 5 ways that you can give to Deliverance Temple Ministries. Many of you take advantage of these opportunities every week. even if you're sitting in the building, and we appreciate that as well. But you can go to our website. That's at deliverancetemple.org, deliverancetemple.org. And there's a giving tab there. Just click on that tab that says giving, and you can give online on your phone. You can give with your computer, with your tablet. You can give by smart phone there. You can give by PayPal, by Cash App, by Square. Any of those ways that you want to give is perfectly fine. Likewise, if you need to get a mailing address or other information to send your snail mail check or money order or a gift, Sister Tyra Knox, our Chief Financial Officer, is more than happy to take that information, give that information to you. Her phone number is area code 417-827-7721. I'll say that again slowly. It's area code 417 right here in Springfield, 827-7721. Give her a call. She'd be happy to direct you as to how to send in your offering or donation by any other means offline. Praise God. So we thank God for that opportunity. It's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to give. And to know that you're giving into good ground, which I know this is. As Bishop mentioned just a few moments ago, we've been through some catastrophes. We've been through some crazy stuff, y'all. The whole church burned out. You know, we've been through hell and high water, as they say. But we are still here, and we are still moving forward, which tells me that God's hand is upon us. And so I give God praise for that this morning. We want to move into the next portion of our service this morning. And I want to tell you that you're about to hear a great word from the Lord. I know it's a great word because he's been sitting on it for about 3 weeks. He was supposed to preach for us a couple of weeks ago, and of course we were unable to come because of the extreme cold temperatures. And because of those extreme cold temperatures, then we had the pipe bursting situation, and so weren't able to come last week. But here we are. Here we are, and we're going to give God praise anyhow, right on through it, through pipe bursting, through pandemic, and whatever other thing that may come along. We're going to praise our God. We're going to continue to serve him and worship him and draw nearer to him. And so this morning, it's my pleasure and privilege to bring a young man that you all know and love, and that is none other than Minister Sylvester Lane, who will be breaking the bread of life to us this morning. Are you online, Doc?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. It's all you, sir. Go as God leads you. God bless you.
Well, amen. Amen. I am so glad to be with you all. Hopefully I don't sound too echoey or shadowy. I set my phone down so I didn't yell into it. I'm extremely excited to give you the word. As Mark said, I've had it for a couple of weeks, and far before that, I started working on it. Bishop always knows when it's the right time to ask me, because the Lord will start festering a word that I can't, like, get off my heart, that I just dwell on, and I think on it, and I can't get it out of my mind. And that kind of was how it happened this time. And then we had snow and ice and pipes bursting. And then when he called me yesterday and we talked, I told him, if somehow a conference call gets canceled, he might as well pick somebody else, because it's a sign. It's a sign that it wasn't my time to go. But I'm glad that I get to be here today with you. I apologize if you hear a chair rolling around or it sounds like I'm out of breath. I'm not very good at sitting still. So it's one of those youthful ADHD things that I wrestle with. But I'll try to stay in one spot and not walk around the room too much. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 today. And while you guys are flipping there, I'm really excited for the word that God has placed on my heart, like I said previously. I truly believe that it's a word for Deliverance Temple, that if we heed to it, that it is special, not because I'm delivering it, not because of any sanctification that I have, but because I believe that the Lord placed it for this time and this season. And if we open our hearts and our minds to the word, and let the distractions that are around us, let the TV that might be playing in the background or the kids running around in the background, if we just set those things aside and listen to the word of God, I believe that it will transform us so much to the point that, as the Wall Street Bets people would say, it would take us to the moon. So that's what I'm believing for. I'm believing a word that will take us to the moon, that if we listen to it, that it will awake in our spirit something special. And what I mean by that is that the Lord, from the foundation of time, has been developing his people for this moment and this time. That if we listen to his word, that we, if we apply his word, the revival that we've been praying for, that we've been asking for, is right there. It's right around the corner. But with all revivals, the most successful thing is a strong foundation. We must have a foundation that is built on the Lord. So we're going to be in Hebrews. Hebrews breaks down into five main themes, if you don't know. It breaks down into justice and judgment, perseverance, power, suffering, traditions, and customs. So as you're reading through the book of Hebrews, what you'll notice is those five things. You'll notice that it talks about justice and judgment. You'll notice that it talks a lot about perseverance, that it talks about power, that it talks about suffering. It talks about traditions and customs. Today in Hebrews chapter 12, as Mark said, I've had this word for a while, so I just want you to know that when I first wrote it, we were going to be in verse 1 through 14. And as I've had the word, the Lord has worked on my heart. And now we're only going to be in verses 1 and 2 in Hebrews chapter 12. You could take that as a good thing. You could take that as a bad thing. You could take that as I have a lot more to say on two verses, and oh no, praise the Lord that he didn't have 14 verses, because we might have been here all day and into the morning. Before we dive in and we jump into the word, let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to deliver the word to your people. Lord, I pray that the words coming out of my mouth would be holy and acceptable unto you. Lord, the words that we hear, the words that are spoken, Lord, let them touch our hearts. Lord, let us lay down the weight, the pressures of this world, Lord, the distractions of this world. Let us hear your word. Let us hear your word in a way that is not just to fill us, but it transforms us. And when it transforms us, we transform the world around us. Lord, we pray that you'll let us, Deliverance Temple, have an impact in your world. Lord, that will be your supernatural miracle to your people, to the people out there that are lost and they're hopeless. Lord, that they don't see a strength. Lord, that we believe that through your word and being your vessels, Lord, that we can be the people, Lord, that lead your people to your glory. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to deliver your word. I thank you for you choosing somebody as inadequate as me to deliver what you have placed for your people. Lord, I pray that you'll allow me to say no more or no less than what you have given me. Lord, as we develop this word, I pray that as it hits their hearts, Lord, that it continues to work in my heart as you have been. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings. Lord, I pray that as we lean into you and we lean into your word, that we will understand your glory, your purpose, and your call into our life. Lord, that above everything, that our life is meant to honor and glorify you. Lord, and that we live in that and we declare that. In your glorious and precious name, amen. Amen. So like I said earlier, hopefully you guys have it. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from the ESV version of the Bible. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race of endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. When I first read this verse, it was very powerful to me. And one of the things that the Lord has been working on in my heart and in my life recently is taking scripture and it not being about how much you read, not being about how many verses you can check off that day, but sitting in the verses and actually dwelling and meditating on what they're actually talking about. And that's what I would like to do today. I'd like to open up those verses and break them down and decide what they're actually talking about to see what the word is actually telling us in just these few verses. And I think it's so powerful that it starts off by saying a great cloud of witnesses. And when I first read that, I was like, what is it talking about? Is it talking about the saints before us or the people behind us? And when I was studying and I was doing my research into it, the witnesses that it refers to is the believers around us. In a Sunday, it's really easy because I could tell you to look to your right and look to your left. And the people that are saved and sanctified, those are the witnesses around you. Because this is a foundation of the faith that we have. It's very interesting that the world has kind of pulled us from this idea that we need to be around each other, that the church is required to be in the church with video conference calls, you know, and podcasts and sermon DVDs and Bible study books. It's very easy to be like, oh, I'm not needed to be there on a Sunday, or I can get the same thing on a Monday and Tuesday that I do on a Sunday, but that's not the case. The Bible tells us that the witnesses around us are very important, that the people around us are very important. And when I talk about the church, I want it to be clear that I'm not talking about the building. And as I've been working and as I've been discussing with myself and the people I've been talking about this message, I've slowly started to realize something that is very key in the world, is that oftentimes we take spiritual things and we try to make them physical. Oh, I hope you get that, because that's worth the price of calling in today. That oftentimes in the world, we take spiritual things and make them physical. And the problem with taking spiritual things and making them physical is that when you take spiritual things and make them physical, they can become an object. And when things are objects, they can become objectifiable. And that's the big problem in the world today. It's easy to look at the church and say, oh, the church is this building. The church is a place where we meet. The church is this. The church is that. And what happens is then you start to judge the church on physical things instead of spiritual things. It becomes, oh, they have a lot of people, or, oh, they have big screens, or, oh, they must be doing it right because they have nice clothes and nice cars and their church bus is nice. Oh, I can't believe, man, they have 4,000 seats. And the crazy thing about that is God is not concerned about the physical. He's concerned about the spiritual. He's concerned about the spiritual in the church, and he's concerned about the spiritual in you. So when we look and we look at the church, it's not about the outside. And when we realize that God is looking at the inside and the spiritual, it changes how we view the church. It changes how we view people. It changes how we look at people. Because if we're looking at the physical and we objectify, then obviously the guy that's wearing the nice clothes, is well-mannered and groomed, seems to be like the one that God has chosen. But if we go after the heart, some people have some muck. I like to liken this to John the Baptist. If we're all honest with ourselves, we all like to be like with Jesus and be like, ah, John's the greatest living. But if we actually ran into John with some dirt in his hair, bees and stuff flying around him eating cockroaches and bugs, we'd be like, ooh, I don't know if that's it. That's a little crazy. But God is more focused on your inside. God is more focused on the spiritual. And I have in my notes right here not to go into a tangent with this, because it's very easy to slide off when we start talking about the spiritual, because we live in a world where they don't acknowledge the spiritual and they want to fix everything in the physical. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes it's a spiritual issue and not a physical issue. As most of you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this, I was born in Chicago, but as I got older, my brothers got in trouble, and my mom moved us further and further south in Illinois. I ended up in a small town called Fairbury. We had one stoplight, and everything closed on Sunday. So much so that Dollar General opened in our town, and they tried to open up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my town boycotted the Dollar General, and now Dollar General opens up at 1 o'clock on Sundays. But we used to have this saying, us country folk. It said, you can dress up a pig in the nicest of clothes, and it's still a pig. And what I wanted to bring that up for is that in the world, we dress up ourselves thinking that the outside is what defines us. But if our soul is not right, if your spirit is not right, you're still nasty on the inside. You're still broken. You're still hurting. No matter how good the clothes is, you'll confuse people for a while. You'll be able to lie to people for a while, but eventually they'll be able to see the inside. And I know that the scripture talks about a great cloud of witnesses. And I think that the foundation of this great cloud is being able to make sure that we're identifying that we're taking care of our soul. That as a people, we are taking care of our soul. As parents, we're taking care of our soul to show our kids that it's a spiritual thing. And it's important in these days and times to understand that. Because the world is trying to give a whole bunch of solutions to you in the physical when it's a soul issue. And things that are in your spirit can't always be defined in the physical. And it's important that your spirit is right, even more so than your outward body being correct. We'll worry about the multi-grains that we eat. We'll worry about if we're eating, if we're in ketosis or not. But oftentimes we don't check our spirit. And I might surmise that the world will tell you that it's a physical out to in. But I would suggest that the Bible tells us that it's inward out. Inward out. Check your soul, and then you could check everything else. And I know you're like, why are you talking about this? We're just talking about a great cloud of witnesses. This doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. But it does, because the very next part of verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Now, I thought this was very interesting when I read it, and it stuck with me for several days, because I was trying to understand why it said every weight and sin. Every weight and sin. And that was so interesting to me, because I was like, well, I understand the sin part, thou shalt not sin, that's very easy for me to do. But why are you talking about weight? What is the point of weight? And what the Lord was telling me is that the hardest part about a relationship with God is all he wants is you. Now let that sink in real quick. The hardest part about a relationship with God is all that he wants is you. And that seems very easy. And it's why salvation is one of the hardest things in the world. Because as humans, we're very hard and we're hard on ourselves, and it's very hard for us not to bring anything in. You know, I'm that person at a party. Like, if you invite me over, I always ask if I can bring something. And even if you tell me that you don't need anything, I always bring King Hawaiian bread. You ask why King Hawaiian bread? Because ain't nobody ever hate King Hawaiian bread. It's like manna from heaven. I don't know how they make it. It's just great. But I have to bring my stuff with me. And it's crazy because that's not what God wants from you. Because he doesn't want the relationship diluted with you thinking that you've earned this relationship somehow. The fact of the matter is we haven't earned the relationship. God is freely giving it to us. That while we are yet sinners, he paid the ultimate price for us. But it's very hard. You know, I got this image of my little sister when she was really young. For most of you that don't know, I'm one of 13. 12 of us are adopted. I was raised by a single mom. My little sister is 6 years old now. So we go from 41 to 6. It's crazy. I told my mom, hey, you need to be easy. It's time to let some other people take the adoption path for you. You're getting a little old. You know, maybe we should settle down a little bit. But I love seeing my little sister because whenever I meet her, I greet her, she'll, like, hug me. And then when she wants you to play, you know how, like, when kids want you to play, they bring you another toy? And you're like, no, I don't need a toy. I just want to hang out and share time with you and spend time. And then they'll run to the toy box and grab another toy and run to the toy box and grab another toy and run to the toy box and grab another toy. And before you know it, you have dinosaurs and Barbies and sharks and speedboats and little blocks and Legos that you hope that you set on the couch so they're not under your foot when you step down. And I started thinking about that image because a lot of times that's how we are when we come to Jesus, when we come to God. God says, hey, I just want you. I just want to be in relationship with you. I want to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. And we're like, oh, but God, I fed this person. Oh, but God, I did this. Oh, but God, I read my Bible 3 times this week. Oh, but God, I did this. Oh, but God, I fed people before I asked for forgiveness, Lord. And this idea that Jesus is like Santa Claus and we have to outweigh the good and the bad. And if we don't outweigh the good and the bad, then all we have is the bad. And he's going to be mad with us. But if I give him enough good things, he'll change his mind. And that's not how the relationship is. That's not how the relationship is. And what we're doing in that relationship is that he's telling us to run a race of endurance that's set before us. Everybody's race is different, but I can tell you right now that if you're breathing, this is still your race, and you have steps in front of you. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes you're tired and you're quitting, not because you don't have the endurance to do the race, not because God gave you more than you could handle, but you're throwing stuff on your back that you were never meant to run with. You're like, I got to be perfect. I got to do this, and I got to do that. Oh, and I got to tell people how to live their life, and I got to condemn them. And God is saying, what are you doing? Just run the race that I've given you. Okay, God, but let me throw this weight on, and let me throw that weight on, and let me do this weight on, and let me do that weight on. And what happens is, we get tired. We slow down. The race gets hurt. We're like, God, why? God, why? And what's really bad is we start to accuse God. And that's wrong. And in the book of Job, chapter 31, God and Job have a conversation. In your free time, read it. I don't want to keep you all too long. But what I can tell you in life, it's okay to question God. It's never okay to accuse God. What do I mean by that? That it's okay to question God. It's okay to question God like John the Baptist questioned God when he was locked up in prison, sent his men out to ask if he was the Messiah, and Jesus responds to him. He doesn't say, I thought you were the Messiah, I guess you aren't. You know, and in my own life, if I'm being very candid with you, I have to watch myself in the accusations that I try to make towards God. I know some of y'all thought I was perfect. No, I'm not. And in my voice, I have to watch how I come to God. And as I was thinking about this weight and the accusations and accusing God versus questioning God, what I realized is when I accuse God of stuff, it's because I threw weights on me. Lord, I know that you told me that I was going to be this. Why ain't I that yet? Lord, I know that you told me this was that. Why isn't it doing this yet? Lord, I know that you thought I that you told me I was going to be it. Why ain't I it? Instead of questioning God and saying, Lord, this race is hard. Lord, I'm running this race. My feet are getting a little tired. Are we still on the right path? Encourage me. Can you encourage me to let me know that I'm keep going? Encourage me that we're doing the right thing. Let me step down like right now. Let me walk. Maybe I'm not running. Let me walk right now. Don't let me stop, but let me walk. Lord, encourage me to keep going. Instead of, Lord, I thought you were God of everything. How dare you? And if we talk, we talk like we have power and authority in that relationship with the Lord. And that's the reason why God never asked nothing from you but you. And salvation is the hardest thing in the world, but the most simple. Because all God is asking from you is you. And he wanted to pay the price, and he did pay the price. Romans 5:8 tells us that God shows his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. While you were still in your muck and you had nothing to offer him, he died for you. And he died for you in a way that you can throw the weight of having to feel like you needed to be perfect. The weight of the pressure that you put on, those spiritual, the things that are weighing down your soul. I'm not talking about physical weight. I'm not talking about you gaining 5 pounds. I'm talking about the things that you add to your spirit, that you add to your soul, that are dragging your soul down, that are making you ineffective in the race that God has called for you. And I'm not defining the race because everybody has their own race. And you must identify what God has called you to. And you run that race to the best of your ability, knowing that with God on your side, you are always outnumbering the enemy. And with taking off the weight, we take off our sin. Because what I've noticed is that your sins of omission, after you've been in Christ for a while, are a lot less than your sins of commission. Idea being that the sins of you sinning when you know that you're not sinning is very little versus the sins of you knowing that it's a sin and you choosing to sin anyway. And why do we do that? We do that because the race gets hard and it's tiring and we get tired and we say, it's over anyways, so I might as well give into my flesh for this momentary spot of release. That for this momentary spot of release, I'm going to give into that. But how do we lay aside, shake off those sins and weights that cling so closely to us? And this is why I love the Bible, because it's not an open-ended question a lot of the time. It's not like, oh, Lord, he's like, hey, let go of your sins and the weight and figure it out. Have a good one. I'll see you in a week. That's not how it is. He answers the question. He gives us the resources. He's giving you the tools to advance, to continue to race, to endure. Verse 2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So you're probably asking yourself, how we shake off the weights and sins. And these are the quick answers, and then I'll leave you all. The first thing is we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. You might be asking yourself, but why? Why do we look to Jesus? We look to Jesus because he's the blueprint for us to follow. And the fact of the matter is the pain, the wrestle that you get after you get saved is because you want to be like Christ. And another sermon, another time. We're going to jump in, starting in verse 3 and go down through 14. It talks about discipline. It talks about suffering for discipline. And there's a very interesting verse in there. It says that if he didn't discipline you, you wouldn't be legitimate. You'd be like an illegitimate child. And that smacked me in my face. Because I remember all those times playing football and basketball and wrestling in high school, and the coach would yell at you, and then he'd say, at the very end, as you felt bad about yourself and you're hurting, you're like, this is horrible. I'm just going to go home and play in the yard with a stick. He'd be like, you should be more worried when I don't yell at you. You should be more worried when I don't discipline you. You should be more worried when I don't try to correct you. And we know that to be true because we all say we want to be like Jesus. But Jesus went through some stuff. Some like lashing, some beating, some beard being ripped out of his face, being hung on a cross, sidestabbed with a spear. Jesus went through some pain. But you know what got Jesus through it? Looking to the glory that was ahead of him. So the second point is, if you want to be able to throw off the weights and the sins, you need to look to the joy that's ahead of you. And what that means is that Jesus was focused on communion with God because Jesus understood something that we are developing in ourselves right now. That the most important relationship that we can ever have is with the Lord. Walking and talking, the purest form of love is with God. And when you realize that the ultimate joy is not in this world, but when your soul is with Jesus. Because the amount of time that we spend in this physical body is finite. But the amount of time that we spend with God is infinite, indefinite. And because of that joy, Jesus was able to endure the cross for things that were not his fault. He's able to endure any pain that you could imagine, the worst amount of pain, agonizing. They literally created a word for what he had to do. It was called agonizing. It was agonizing pain. It was so excruciating that they didn't have a word and they had to come up with a word. And the amazing thing is that some of us haven't been under that pressure at all, but yet we still go to our sinful natures. Some of us get bored and go to our sinful natures. Some of us get mad because we don't have a cup of coffee and go to our sinful natures. Some of us get frustrated that we aren't as successful as we thought we would be yet, and we go to our sinful natures. And the crazy thing is that God, Jesus, died for your sins, died for my sins, enduring the cross, despising the shame of the cross for stuff that wasn't even his fault. And it's very interesting because of this last point, because I was at a marriage retreat. Me and Hannah went to a marriage retreat, and the pastor there that was doing the retreat is called Mark Driscoll, and he was talking about the sponge that they put on a spear and gave to Jesus with vinegar. And when he went to Israel in Jerusalem and was walking through the old sites of the Bible times, he was talking about, they showed him the latrines. Showed him the water closets where Romans did their break, where they went to the bathroom. And as the guy was talking, he was talking about how after somebody high up would go to the bathroom, their servant or their slave would come in with a sponge with vinegar, dipped in vinegar, and they would clean the latrine. They would clean the toilet with that. And Roman soldiers would actually carry that sponge with them in the vinegar. And the fascinating thing that he said, and it stuck out so profoundly with me till this day, is that when Jesus asked for water, what they stuck in his mouth was a toilet bowl brush. They literally gave the perfect Son of God water out of a toilet bowl brush. And it hit me so hard because I was like, oh, woe is me. Woe is me that it thinks it's okay to accuse God Woe is me that thinks it's okay to throw accusations onto God when he was able to do that for us. And still while he was getting stabbed with a sponge that was used to clean out the toilet, his prayer was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And if the founder and perfecter of our faith can do that for sins that weren't his own, who are we to cling to our sins and to the pressure and the weights that we have? And that's my challenge to you today. Who are we to think that we're worthy of accusing God of anything? That I hope that you can lay aside those weights and the sins that cling so closely. And I love that terminology, so closely, because it shows that it's not easy. It's not saying to the weights and the sins that you have in your storage unit that you're 3 months late behind on rent. It's literally saying to the weights and the sins that are onto your body that physically are touching you, that are crippling your soul and your spirit, that are making you less in your race and your run and endurance. Please lay those aside. And if you want to lay those aside, let me tell you how to lay those aside. We look to Jesus because it's all about him. It's only about him. We look to how he focused. How was Jesus able to go through it all? He looked to the joy of being with the Father forever one day. That he endured a cross. That he endured something that he did not deserve, that was not himself. And despising the shame, even though they were embarrassing him and sticking a toilet sponge in his throat, despised it for us to be in relationship. That while we were yet sinners, God brought us together, gave us the gift from himself, lest no man should boast. That in that moment, that those moments that you are in that weight, and you are in that sin, that God has given you freedom. He's broken the chains and the bondage from your body that you can be free. And that's my word for Deliverance Temple. That's my word for you, that you can be free. Your soul can be free. Your spirit can be free. And when you live in that freedom, the race that God has called you to will be a whole lot easier to run. It'll still be hard because you need discipline. Because without discipline, you can't get glory. And legitimate children are disciplined. We're not talking about a physical discipline. We're talking about a spiritual discipline for your spirit. And the world will tell you, how can a loving God, how can a righteous God let anybody go to hell? And when I read my Bible, the real question I have is, how does this loving, perfect, righteous God allow any of us into heaven? How does he allow us in our gunk and our muck and our filth, trying to bring stuff to him like a child, to try to find some worthiness that we don't have? How does he let us into heaven? And that's answered in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only forgotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but give the world eternal life. And that's my word for you today, that if you're far from God, if you're apart from God, if the sins and the weights are bearing you down to where you don't think you can move, if the coronavirus is impacting you to the point that you don't know if you can go any further because you're meant to be in community and you're not in community and it hurts and you're getting tired and you want to quit and you want to give up and the world is not giving you any answers, but your spirit is like, I don't feel right. I don't know where I belong. I'm here to tell you today that that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to whip you. He came that you might know why your soul hurts, why your spirit hurts, why you're in pain. And in this moment right now, that's who I want to pray for. That's who I want to pray for. That's who I want to lift up. So I want to end in prayer. I want to end in prayer for us saints that are walking. I want to end in prayer for those of you that might not know. Those of you that may have known and now are sitting on the sidelines and you're with your sin and you're with your the pressures that you have, and you're looking to both sides, and you're like, cool, woe is me. I guess this is as far and as good as God has it for. It's God's fault I'm not going any further. If he really wanted to give me that or this, he would have made a way. I want to pray for both of you guys. So, dear Lord, right now I thank you for delivering the word that is impacting my heart right now, even as I speak so deeply into your word. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that are in this world, that are trying to make things that are spiritual, physical. And even as they try to fulfill those physical needs that they think they need, their spirit is empty and their heart is empty. And the more they try it with drugs and sex and alcohol, Lord, in relationships that aren't honoring to you, Lord, trying to find little escapes, Lord, that pit grows deeper and deeper and deeper. Because the only relationship that will fill the void in your heart is a relationship with you. Lord, right now I pray for those people. I pray for those that are yearning for something and they don't know how to physically express it because it's a soul need. I pray for that relationship with you, that you would reveal yourself, that you are revealing yourself. I pray for family members, Lord, that we have that aren't on the conference call, that right now might be wrestling with that you would reveal your spirit with them, Lord. That emptiness, that pit that they're feeling, Lord, that they would know that it's you, that you are what they're yearning for. You are what they're calling for, not a physical need, not a physical escape, Lord, but a spiritual fill, a relationship with the Lord. Lord, I pray for us saints, Lord, that are walking the race, running the race, that are getting tired. Lord, the weights are heavy. They're heavy so much that we start sinning. Lord, that we're looking for little escapes as well. We're trying to go back into our old nature, Lord, just to get an escape from the endurance, Lord, that it's hard. Lord, that we feel like the race is over already and we just begun. Lord, I pray that we can look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, with the joy that you have set before us, Lord, that joy would fill our hearts and in our spirit. Lord, that your joy is the most important thing in our lives, that once we get the joy and acknowledge that we get to be with you forever, that we want to walk in community with true love, perfected love, that our faith is perfected through the blood, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, declared Jehovah. That you are God above everything, that we declare that today, that above everything, that you are our God above everything, Lord. And as we live this life, that we'll work spiritually out, Lord, that our spirit will be strong and we will work on the outside, that as we fill our spirit and strengthen our spirit, the physical things will start to heal, Lord, that as we are a better spiritual person, we'll be a better husband, we'll be a better wife, we'll be a better mother, we'll be a better father, we'll be a better kid, we'll be a better student, we'll be a better Christ follower, we'll be a better church, we'll be a body, Lord, that the world tells us about an ethos, an atmosphere around us of a spirit, but we are spiritual beings ourselves, and we believe that in this moment that you are working in our spirit, that you are breaking down the walls like you did with Joshua and Jericho, Lord, that you are refining our hearts and building up the walls like you did in Nehemiah. Lord, that the walls around our hearts will be solid and struck for your glory to protect us from the enemy and the spiritual battles that we've come, because we understand that our fight's not with flesh and blood, but principalities and principles. Lord, we declare today that you are Jehovah. And you're not just Jehovah Jireh, our provider, but you're our Jehovah of everything, our life, our wealth, our health, Lord, our path, our discipline. You are our teacher, our coach, our best friend, our mother, our father. Lord, in this moment, we thank you for that. We thank you for the ability to hear your word. We thank you for the ability to come together as a church. Lord, as the enemy has tried to destroy the physical location, we understand the spiritual location is where you are. And we declare your goodness today with a resounding amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you all for allowing me to share the word. I appreciate it.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much, Minister Sylvester. That was a powerful word from the heart. And I certainly felt that. I certainly resonated with that. And this is no shade on your other messages, but, man, I don't know if I've ever heard you better than today. This was powerful, and it was straight from your heart, and
I receive it. I've taken some notes. So many impactful nuggets that you threw out there today for us. But one of them that hit me particularly, you said stuff on your back that you were never meant to run with. That was just powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. You want to throw off those weights? Stand up and look to Jesus.
That's it, Pastor.
Appreciate it. That was a good word. I hope that you all took it in today. I want to ask our bishop to come back and have any final words today on our service. And,
God bless you this morning. God is on the throne. God's trying to reach out to us. He's trying to get us ready to go back with him. So let's take heed to the word. Let's lay aside everything that's not connected to God. Forget about the thing that you like. We're here to please God. And we want to join the crowd that had paid the price. Don't ever think that God is putting too much on us. Sometimes we're caring too much. Just lay it aside. I want you to know that God loves you. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Thank God. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate that so much. And as we close today, I will tell you, Minister Sylvester, that at my next party, I'm definitely going to have you invited.
I love you for saying for Ryan
Bridge.
Game changer.
Glory to God. It is. It most certainly is. Hey, listen, I'm going to unmute and everybody give some love to our speaker and to each other.
Oh, God, hallelujah. Thank you for the message.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord.
God, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for that message, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I love you, Brother Sylvester. I love all of you, oh, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God.
God bless you once again.
Yes.
And,
thank you.
We will see you all next week, either here on the conference call or at 2101 Westchester Expressway, one or the other.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank
love you.
You.